the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site that covers the Arizona Cardinals. On episode, this is a special episode. It's an extra episode we're doing. You just heard Seth and I, in episode 531, do our first of our four NFL draft preview shows. Now on episode 532, this is the debut of having Howard Balzer join me, which I'm sure we'll make it more often, or having him, that Howard just in the last little more than a month joined the Cards Wire team, helped me on the site, long time NFL coverage, long time NFL writer covering the Cardinals in the St. Louis area forever, Hall of Fame voter. You can hear him on SiriusXM's Hall of Fame radio, and that's, you know, I've got him on. Howard, thanks for coming on the first time on this show. I hope it's the first of many times, or and well, whether it's guesting or providing audio content of your own, I hope this is one of many, many shows where we hear from you.
I hope it is too, and anyone who knows me and has heard me, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, no one has ever accused me of not liking to talk.
Oh my goodness. I guess that's the great thing about doing podcast is that, you know, if I really want to say, I can say it and I can just record it and put it out there. And I don't even have to listen to anybody. Now, that's not how I typically do the shows. I've only done a handful of solo shows ever, but I enjoy the interaction. We're at a particular time of year. It's April, a couple weeks from the NFL draft, but that's not what we're talking about on this show. We've got kind of plenty of content on that on the site and the other shows that Seth and I have done and coming up over the next couple of weeks. But Howard, he actually, in his show on the Hall of Fame radio for SiriusXM, he had Alex Garwood, brother-in-law of Pat Tillman, Cardinals legend, Arizona State legend, Pat Tillman. And because we're hitting the 20-year anniversary of Tillman's death, we have Pat's run, which is this weekend. We're recording on a Wednesday afternoon this Saturday. We have Pat's run in Tempe, which has been a longstanding. It's one of the most popular races that you can find. A little bit longer than a lot of typical runs, as it is 4.2 miles, and in honor his number 42 at Arizona State. Howard, you learned a lot about Pat. You heard a lot about Pat's legacy, but let's kind of take it back. So Pat Tillman means different things for a lot of different people here locally. I myself was a student at Arizona State when he was a student there. He and I would be basically the same age. He's 4 months. He was born 4 months before me. We were in high school at the same time. And his freshman year, let me find 96, 97, maybe, I guess his freshman year would have been a year earlier, or unless he, did Pat declare early? Do you know if he declared early?
I don't think he did. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I don't think he did. I mean, I think he realized he probably wasn't going to be a real sought after talent in the draft. I mean, really good player, obviously, in college, but the way teams looked at him, people wondered where he was going to play just because of his size and all those things. So I'm pretty sure he did not come out early, but I'm not 100%.
He only had 3 years of stats. So either he redshirt, he was a redshirt. I think his plan was to get out in 3 years. I'd have to go back to find a story from the Arizona State head coach from back in the day, Bruce Snyder. I think that was his plan, to be in and out and graduate in 3 years. But he had 3 years at Arizona State, so 95, 96, 97. If that was his true freshman year, that would have been my true freshman year. And so he played there for 3 years while I was a student my freshman year, and then I was gone away for a couple of years on my mission before I came back. And he was drafted the year I came back to the United States. And I never knew Pat. I never, obviously, we're both freshmen at the same time, different circles. I was an academic dude and he was college athlete, but I know many people who knew Pat. My wife's uncle knew him through some business stuff, through the families, and anyone I've ever come across who knew anything about Pat was just a different guy. And I grew up, I'm born and raised here in Arizona. So having an Arizona State guy be drafted by the Cardinals, he and Jake Plummer were two of my absolute favorite athletes ever, playing locally here at Arizona State, getting drafted by the Cardinals and playing very well for them. Tillman ended up starting on that rookie team that in 1998, they made the playoffs and beat the Cowboys, had 4 years. But for you, Howard, what was Pat Tillman to you at your point in your career at that point?
And first, I'll just mention Jake, by the way, is going to be the race starter for the run on Saturday, which just as a note, mentioned the 20th anniversary of his passing. It's also the 20th run, so that number 20 becomes synonymous with this year. But as you mentioned, I was in St. Louis at the time. I was covering the Rams, and I knew basically of Pat as, you know, a pretty good player. I didn't see him play a lot, certainly. But, knew kind of what he was about, but, didn't honestly really know that much about him. The one thing that I always will remember on two different occasions, of course, was after the 2000 season when he became a restricted free agent and had a one-year tender somewhere a little bit north of $500,000. And, the Cardinals were just figuring they were going to, pay him that tender and that would be it. Well, all of a sudden, the Rams, the team I cover, Mike Martz, just had a thing for Pat Tillman. And they put together an offer that I was told was 5 years and $9 million, which in today's day doesn't sound like a whole much, but for a restricted free agent was pretty good money. And so I remember that when the Cardinals made the offer, the Rams made the offer. And then, of course, remembered when he decided to stay in Arizona. And didn't know a lot of the details, but of course came to find out. And, Dave McGinnis, who was a Cardinals coach back then, ended up being in St. Louis with Jeff Fisher when Fisher became head coach of the Rams, numerous years later, and got to know Dave pretty well. And he would always tell the story about how when Pat got that offer, that they just figured he was gone. That was it. And Dave tells the story about how he went to the weight room one day, a few days after the offer was tendered or the offer was being reported, and he went to the weight room and there was Pat Tillman working out on the treadmill. And so McGinnis said, "Hey, turn that off." And Tillman says, "What? What's going on?" He said, "Well, I just wanted to say congratulations. It's cool. You've deserved everything you've gotten. It's really great for you that you're going to be going to the Rams." And he says that Tillman looked at me and he says, "What are you talking about?" He says, "You guys, you coaches, were the only ones that believed in me. So you think I'm going to go somewhere else just for the money?" He says, "That's BS." And he didn't say BS, according to Tillman. And so I'm finding out that story and you start to, learn about the guy. And then I think the whole country obviously really learned about him when the following year, after he had another really good season as a playing on the tender, and then he becomes an unrestricted free agent. And I knew his agent pretty well, Frank Bauer. And I remember talking to him. He says, "Man, we're going to get a good contract for him." And everyone believed it. And then Pat told Frank, he says, "No, don't worry about the contract. I've got something else going on." And that, of course, was enlisting in the armed forces. And everyone was taken aback by that. And then I remember to this day, Jess, 3 years later, when in 2004, when I was in Rams Park in the auditorium where they were getting ready for their pre-draft press conference, and all of a sudden we get word that Pat had been killed in Afghanistan. And I remember calling Frank Bauer and I said, "No, how is this possible?" And he was just beside himself. He couldn't believe it. So, that was essentially what I knew about him. And then of course all the accolades and all the things that came from them, but being in St. Louis, didn't know how much, to what level he was revered here in Arizona until moving here 3.5 years ago. And let me say this, Jess, I don't know if you believe in serendipity, the things just happen for a reason by chance or whatever, but I'm not a believer in chance. And the Hall of Fame radio show I do last week, the guy I normally do it with is Joe Harrigan, who's been working at the Hall of Fame for more than four decades. He couldn't do it because he was sick. And a guy who worked there by the name of Rich DeRochers, who's the chief content and communications officer, he was filling in for Joe. And so he tells me, hey, we're going to have this guy on, Alex Garwood, to talk about the Pat Tillman run and the anniversary and all that. And to be quite honest, I hadn't really been thinking about it. Obviously, see all the promotion for the run and all that. But the only reason he was on was because Rich was doing the show. And then we have Alex on, who is Pat's brother-in-law. His wife, Christine, married Pat's wife, Marie. And so he's a brother-in-law. And he came on and was just blew me away with talking about Pat and different things and, you know, about the foundation, about the run. And that's when it came upon me. And then Rich DeRocher told the great story we had on the site last week about the football card of Pat that's on display with other Pro Football Hall of Famers, the only non-Hall of Famer that's in this wall display at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. When he told that story, and then I made sure he repeated it to Alex, and it was something he didn't know. He didn't know. And so that all of a sudden got me thinking, you know, I got to do some stuff on this. I got to do some stories for the website. Quite honestly, I probably wouldn't have done it had this whole having him on the show last week have occurred. And it's been great, you know, doing the stories. I got one more coming that's going to concentrate on that whole restricted free agent deal. But when you hear Dave McGinnis talk about him, you hear the people close talk about him, the Tillman scholars that the foundation supports, almost 900 of them that are servicemen and their families and with education, with leadership development, their kids, and they've helped over. Here's an interesting number. They get 1,000 applications every year from service people to become a Tillman scholar and get the support of the foundation. And they only pick around 60. That's it, every year. And, you know, it just speaks to everything he was about, everything that those close to him have carried forward. And so I'm heading to the run on Saturday. You know, meet a lot of people, and I'm really looking forward to it. And on one level, I say, man, I should have done this before this year, but I'm just so glad that I am. But like I said, it's all serendipity that this show, that this interview happened to have happened last week.
And that story, kind of how it goes is, you know, they have this mosaic of football cards, of football players, football cards it's a display of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And as you wrote about that, is that Pat, his card is in there, and he's the only non-Hall of Famer to do it. And Rich was saying that there was a point where they needed to make a decision, either replace him with a Hall of Famer.
No one knows how he got in there. Yeah. No one knows how that happened.
They don't know how it happened, and they had to make a decision. So do we take him out, put him a different, and then they decided to go no. And that actually makes it a nice talking point, because while Pat certainly did not have a Hall of Fame football career, he definitely, the legacy that he has, I mean, he represents a lot of, like, especially here locally, because you've got his legacy at Arizona State, you've got the legacy within the Cardinals, but then everyone in the entire country knows who Pat Tillman is, because of he became kind of the symbol of service and doing more than what you need to, enlisting and doing that, giving up something for a greater good. But now his legacy, his place in NFL history, the lore of Pat Tillman deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And now they have that. So one of the things that Rich mentioned was when people come in and they show this, there's one card, there's one player on here in this mosaic that is not a Hall of Famer. Can he find it? And then if they don't find it, then it becomes a talking point about Pat Tillman and what he did. He had, for his time for the Cardinals was interesting, is even dating back to his rookie year. He came in, like, even when he was at Arizona State, Bruce Snyder, I'll have to find the interview, and I'll find the art story on it, but, like, he expected to play right away, because he said he wanted to be out of there basically in 3 years to have his degree. He had goals. He had goals for his life that were more than just college. It was more than just football. And he had something inside him that the people say that he lived his life to the beat of Victor Drum. Pat Tillman, for anyone who knew him, he was exactly that way, is that he just didn't, he wasn't wired like most other people. Like, for someone to turn down 5 years, $9 million, and he turned down, like, there were contract offers that he had after that year when he was an unrestricted free agent, and he said no. Like, the Cardinals were willing to bring him back, and I believe Seattle was interested in signing him as well. And that was when he's like, no. Understand that there is, like, for him, as a restricted free agent, there wasn't even if he signed the offer sheet from the Rams, there wasn't even a guarantee that he would get there, because the Cardinals would technically have the right to match it, though it doesn't sound like they were going to match 5 years and $9 million, because that was, like, based on the time. Now, granted, if you look at that 2000 season, he had 155 total tackles. He had an interception. He broke up 9 passes, 2 forced fumbles, and a sack and a half. He was one of the most productive defensive backs in the NFL. He was granted productive on an awful, awful Cardinals defense in the year 2000. But yeah, and so he was wired differently, because if a player did that now, even, like, we'd tell them you're foolish. And Pat, financially, that was a foolish move. Like, it was, but it's part of the lore. It's part of the story. What else in your interview with Alex, what did you learn about, his legacy and about Pat himself?
The thing that Alex talks about is how he has 3 sons, and 2 of them were born early enough for Pat to know them, but they were still very young. One of them was born afterward, but he talks about how he has tried to bring up with his wife, obviously, his sons to follow, you know, to do the right thing, basically, to be a good man. You know, to make good decisions, think them out, but make good decisions. And he said that we always have to balance that. But he said that's the biggest impact, is in terms of how they've tried to bring up, you know, their sons to, you know, follow Pat's lead, in effect, you know, in terms of, you know, trying always to make, you know, do the right thing. And that was the thing that, you know, that jumped out. You know, he talked about the Tillman Scholars, of course, who exemplify it all. But that was, you know, that was a thing that, you know, that Alex talked about, that you could see how passionate he was, just that he was fortunate in a lot of ways just to have known Pat. He said, as I wrote in the story, he said, you know, about I married, you know, Pat's wife's sister, and that enabled me to be a brother-in-law and develop a friendship with the guy. And so he lives that, to this day. And it was pretty impressive hearing him talk. And I know it's one thing when we write what people say and you get the feel of it, but when you listen to it, it's another level, obviously. And so it's just very, very special. And, you know, you were mentioning that 2001 season, just to piggyback for a little bit. We know what happened in 2001 with 9/11. And Dave McGinnis tells the story. He remembers it to this day, of how when it happened that morning, that he said he remembers them, you know, sitting in the PR director's office as they're watching it on TV and just seeing how affected that Pat was by that. And the following day, the paper, the Arizona Republic, had a huge, what Dave said, a huge American flag that they just put on the front page, just a big American flag. And Pat cut it out and taped it to the window and the glass on the defensive meeting room. And he said it stayed up there for quite a while. And obviously what certainly probably happened during the course of that season is he was germinating in his mind what he was going to do. And then when that season was over and he became an unrestricted free agent, like I mentioned earlier, he told his agent, you know, don't bother with all these contract offers and, you know, and all those things. He said, I've got something else I'm going to do. And Frank had no idea what it was until he revealed it. And it's all about a different guy he is. He said that the day that he talked to Pat about it, and Pat told him, and he told it in this way. He said, he comes into my office, and you know how there's always a chair in front of the desk and all that. He says, well, he took that chair, wheeled it around, and put it next to me and just looked at me eye to eye and told me what he was doing. And then my reaction mostly was, well, have you thought this out? Not in terms of your decision, but what the reaction is going to be. This is going to be huge. He said, you know, there's going to be media everywhere talking to you. And he said, Pat responded by saying, well, I'm not going to say a word. That's up for you to talk to me. That's what he said. But he told stories you mentioned about when they had him at a pro, what a different dude. He always called him a dude. What a different dude he was. They had him, they worked him out at a pro day. And he said he shows up without a shirt, right? Cleats with no socks, you know, the long hair. And they're putting him through drills. And he's diving for ball, you know, and getting scraped up in his body and strawberries and all that. And after about 15 or 20 minutes, McGinnis said, okay, that's enough. That's enough. And he says, no, I sucked. We got to do more. And they did another 20 minutes. And then to your point about expecting to be a starter, when the Cardinals drafted him, Dave said about 3 days late after the draft, he shows up in my office. He rode his bicycle over, rode his bicycle. And here he comes into my office and long hair and flip-flops and all that. And he says to me, you know, I know you guys picked me. It's a seventh-round pick. I know you guys picked me because I'm the local kid. I'm going to sell tickets and all that. He says, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to be a starter. I'm going to be a starter. You go into this with an open mind, I'm going to be a starter. And obviously, sure enough, he was. Just, you know, just unique in so many different ways.
Well, and not only that, he became a starter changing positions his first year in the NFL, because he played linebacker. He was a dynamic linebacker in college. And he was like, Arizona State had a kind of a three generation legacy of linebackers that transitioned to safety, as they had Darren Woodson, who was a linebacker at Arizona State, went to play safety for the Cowboys, then Tillman, and then Adam Archuleta was Tillman's replacement at Arizona State, and eventually went on to the NFL to play a few years as a safety. And that was kind of like Arizona State's thing. But for him to be able to go from linebacker to safety, he never played defensive back, and to be an NFL starter in year one, that's kind of a fun thing. Adding to the lore of Pat Tillman, he represents so much more than just, like, he is ever present when it comes to anything with Arizona State. He's got a statue there at State Farm Stadium. He means a lot to a lot of people across the nation, and you know, especially those who knew him here. He was a legitimately a good guy who had goals. His family legacy weighed on him of what he wanted to do with his life. And when he had the opportunity to enlist, I think playing football was what he was good at, but that's not what he wanted to be, to have his life defined by. And clearly, two decades after his death, he represents so much more. His legacy, the tragic way in which he died, but so much good has come of that. The foundation, the work that they do tirelessly, that foundation has become, I can't imagine that Alex could have ever expected what that foundation has become, that it would ever have come near that.
Probably not. And it's like you said, it's almost sadly, it's become so big because of the whole tragedy of it all. And it's become even bigger than anything that might have happened. Who knows? Well, I mean, obviously, we'll never know the answer to that. But it was just, I guess, in some weird, unfortunate, sad way, it was meant to be. And it is so big, like you said. And you were mentioning how he's revered here, nationwide. Heck, it's global. I mean, with this run, they have troops overseas that participate in it. There's global stuff, you know, that goes on with this run.
There were satellite runs, but in 2020, when it got huge, when everyone basically, that Pat's run was a virtual one and everyone did their own runs no matter where it was, it exploded. And I think that's kind of the one of the small positives of the pandemic was that more people worldwide were able to kind of get a piece of Pat Tillman in their heart, or become a part of that legacy just a little bit.
But up 2020, because I was just talking about the 220s with this year, you know, with the anniversary. And then, like you said, 4 years ago in 2020, when it just went wild because they just couldn't do it. And they still do virtual runs. And, you know, in a lot, you know, obviously a lot of places, people that can't come to Arizona. So you almost run out of words, in a sense, just to describe it all and to understand the impact. I mean, Dave McGinnis said, he said, I've coached 8 Hall of Famers in my career, but there is no one that has had an impact on me in my life as much as Pat Tillman did. And he said, I do a lot of speaking engagements. And he said, and he is a big part of that when I talk to groups and young people and whoever it might be, you know, in terms of leadership, you know, in terms of what you should be as a person beyond sports or football or whatever it is that you're doing. And he speaks of him all the time, and he just loves talking about the guy, and you almost can't get him to stop when he gets started.
Yeah. And yeah, it's a special time. I'm glad for the timing that you said, just the kind of the luck or the happenstance, how it all came about, that getting Alex on the show, the timing that it was 20 years later, the 20th anniversary of Pat's run, 20 years from his tragic death. And we get to remember him. We get to remember him a little bit more. He certainly made a huge impact here locally in Arizona, Arizona State. He is Arizona State. To a smaller level, there's the spirit of Pat Tillman that lives within the NFL and in the Arizona Cardinals, and it's good to bring it up again. And I'm glad Howard that you had that opportunity to do that. I'm glad with the timing that you joined the site that we're able to add that content to the site, and looking forward towards the story to the end of the week. This is recording on a Wednesday. I should have this posted Thursday morning when you hear it. Episode 532, and then we've got Pat's run this weekend. We've got the NFL draft coming up. Howard, really appreciate the time. Anything else that you'd like to talk, anything you'd like to say about Pat, about what you learned from that interview with Alex?
Just learned so much, and like you said, you know, you're glad. I'm glad that it happened also, and like, because it's opened me up even more to what's happened. And the other part is that I was scheduled to do a different story for the Hall of Fame yearbook that I had my deadline coming up, and I had a lot of work to do on it. And when this whole thing developed and all the things that were said and learning this and learning that, I suggested to Rich at the Hall of Fame, I said, you know, the story I was going to do is kind of timeless. You can do it anytime. I said, but with all of this that's happened, I think it might be a good idea if I do something on Pat Tillman, especially with that, you know, football card story. And they did something honoring Pat 2 years ago in 2022 when they had something on Veterans Day. And with what they did, they helped raise money for the Pat Tillman Foundation. Oh, and by the way, as you mentioned, on Wednesday, the NFL and the Cardinals announced that Trey McBride and DJ Dallas, the new running back, they were in Poland for 4 days earlier this month as part of the USO and visiting 6 military bases. And as you read through it and see what they're doing and what the NFL does with its salute to service, the Pat Tillman Foundation is a recipient of some of those funds also. And so, you know, all of those pieces have, like you said, have made this all possible. And I'm just, you know, so glad that I guess fell into it. You know, in a way, always knew about him, always wanted to do more. And I always thought, well, maybe I should do something with the run this year. Maybe, well, this really pushed me. And then when I suggested that story for the yearbook, and they went for it. And so I'll be doing a story for the Hall of Fame yearbook that comes out for the enshrinement weekend in early August. to keep, you know, to continually to keep that alive. So it's been very gratifying to have, you know, done this, gotten to know a little bit more, got to know people around him, and really looking forward to this weekend.
All right. That is Howard Balzer, the newest now deputy editor over here at CardsWire.com, joining me on the Rise Up Secret podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. We will hear more from him in the weeks and the months to come. Check out his stuff on CardsWire. He's got a lot of stuff already up there. But with that, we will end this edition of the Rise Up Secret podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. The next show, Seth and I will be back as we will preview the rest of the offensive prospects in the Cardinals. We'll talk quarterbacks. We'll talk running backs. We'll talk tight ends. Howard, thanks so much for coming on. We'll be back again soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up C-Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.